an evil genius with a lisp and a really bad hairdo who deals in nuclear arms to aliens.
This is the Bicoastal Actor, a podcast about being an actor in Los Angeles or Atlanta. I'm Jeff Holbrook, and with me this week and every week is Ben Austin. I'm in Atlanta, and Ben is in L.A. This show is created by Polar Studios, and you can find more shows just like this one over at polarpodcast.com. Benjamin, Mr. Hollywood.
Jeffrey. Actually living.
Living the high life. Swimming pools, movie stars, cocaine, and sadness.
I was going to contradict you, but all of those things. No, I don't know about the cocaine.
No, no, the police don't know about the cocaine. That's what is important.
I will say that I know nothing about cocaine, Jeffrey. I do know about swimming pools and sadness. I've always had a fear of the shallow end of a swimming pool.
You know what, Benjamin? I think the shallow end of the swimming pool should have a fear of you.
Are you calling me fat?
Yes. That will now be my response every time someone says, "Are you calling me fat?" I will just go, "Yes." Do you feel better?
No. No.
So we got some follow-up from the last episode. First off, I want to open with a correction. So last episode, I said incorrectly that if you want to find show notes for this show, that you go to bicoastalactor.com/101. Well, guess what? I'm a big hairy liar. If you want to find show notes for this show, you go to bicoastalactor.com/103. Because this is episode 3 of season 1. All right? Last episode show notes are at bicoastalactor.com/102. And, of course, the first episode is would be at /101. What are show notes, you may be asking? Show notes is just the page on the web where you can find all the links to everything that we've talked about and other silliness. So there you go. Over at bicoastalactor.com, you will find some show notes. So, Ben, you've got some follow-up as well. We've got our main topic for this week, but I think you had a couple of things you wanted to touch base on before we got to that. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. So, we've been talking about pilot season on and off. The first episode was sort of concerning pilot season and pilots of things in general. And I just wanted to throw in here, here's a fun little a bit of practical homework that you can do to help you figure out which pilots you want to look out for and how to contact, how to actually get a hold of those casting directors and their associates. So you probably know what kind of shows you're interested in, both in the ones you want to perform in and what you like personally. And we're going to talk a little bit about type, which also comes into the equation. But start with what you like. Okay, so I like science fiction. I'm going to look for sci-fi pilots that are coming up, specifically from the Sci-Fi Channel. I'm going to get really excited about, I told you about one of them. What was it? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Don't have it up in front of me.
I think it was about post-apocalyptic sock puppets.
Post-apocalyptic? Yes, it was the post-apocalyptic sock puppet.
Post-apocalyptic, I'm reaching too hard.
Kia, post-apocalyptic Kia. And so I find out who, what network is doing that. I find out who's creating it. And I go into IMDb Pro. And if you don't have IMDb Pro, you need to look into it.
Benjamin, what is IMDb? IBDB? What is I don't know Pro?
IMDb Pro.
Benjamin, I gotta ask you something, Mr. Benjamin. Have you heard of this IBDB Pro? Are you currently without a professional version of the IBDB?
So you find out, what show you actually are interested in for this pilot season, and you look up, and you can do that by looking on Variety.com. You know, just search 2014 pilot season, and there are going to be a plethora of articles about the shows coming up in pilot season. Just scan through them and say, "Oh, that sounds like fun." Go for that one And you then go onto IMDb Pro. If you should know what IMDb is. If you don't know what IMDb is, then go to your computer and type in imdb.com or do the search bar IMDb. It's the Internet Movie Database. So you type that in, you go to the website, then you type in the name of that show. And if that show is actually, you know, on the books, if it's going to be in production, something will pop up. Usually it's going to be show creator, something like that. Also, scan the articles in Variety.com and whatever these other online articles are that give you the source, the pilot that you're looking up. See if they mention the showrunner or the producers, creators, things like that. Usually online trade articles like Variety and so forth will have that info. So if you pull up the show and you can't find out, it doesn't give you the information like casting director or producer. What you're really looking for is casting by. Then you go back to those articles. You find if it says who the showrunner is or who the producer is, who the director or creator is, you go find them on IMDb Pro. Then you look who they work. You look at who they work with, whether it be for movies or for TV. This is a lot of cross-referencing. This is where you're actually doing your homework as an actor. You're going in and saying, well, I want to work with this director. I want to work on this show. Who are the people that work on this show? Look for casting by. Then you go back and you enter their name. You find out their contact info because IMDb Pro will have that. It will have their contact info, a PO box, a phone number, an email address. It will have very often names of their associates, casting associates. Who are the people that you want to get in touch with? Set up a meeting. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to call and say, I would love to set up a meeting, get to know your work and introduce you to my work. They're going to say no. Okay, so they say no. That's the worst thing that's going to happen. You've still become a blip on their radar. So now you have a name.
Benjamin, it sounds so difficult. There's so much work. I want to stay home and play Wii and PlayStation and Xbox.
I know. No. It's so difficult to spend 40 minutes doing this work and then go play Wii.
But there's so many kittens to look at on the internet.
And you can still have that tab up.
Polish Studios would like to say that kittens is not a euphemism for any potential misconduct you may be performing on the internet. Back to your show.
So you're this is not really that much work. It's really pretty easy. It's all done from your pad, your domicile. You can do it in your stinky sweatpants that we talked about in the last episode if you see fit to. Then you get that phone call. You write down all this information. You make a little card or however it is that you keep and keep track of your contacts. And then you start looking on the web for the casting director workshops that these people host. You find, maybe they're doing online classes, anything like that, so that you then become part of their network. You're not just trying to make them part of yours. You're trying to become part of theirs. So if you keep popping up at these workshops, and I'm not saying you need to pester them. No, if they see your name two or three times, they're going to remember it. These are people whose jobs it is to recognize names and faces.
So you're saying that we should pester them.
No, I'm saying no. I do believe that I actually said the opposite, that you should not pester them.
And I got to write that down. Okay. Don't pester
the casting directors.
Casting director. Well, I mean, why not?
Because they won't want to work with you then.
All right. Okay.
Because if you bother them, Jeff, if you constantly do something to bother them, if you
like repeating the word bother over and over, does this bother you? I'm not touching you. Does this bother you? I'm not touching you. Does this bother you? I'm not touching you. Does this bother you? I'm kind of touching you.
Then you're not, then you're going to get some sort of restraining order. They're not going to want to work with you then. What you want to do is just be present, show up. That what is that adage? 50% of the work or whatever it is just showing up. Well, this is one of those cases. You find out who it is you want to work with, and you show up to their workshops. You show up, you do the work at the workshops. You send them mailers with your information, and you do it in a creative way, and I'll talk more about that later. Really what you want to do, shameless plug, is go to Dallas Travers' website and sign up for her blueprint or her breakthrough, because she talks about all these things. She gives you techniques on marketing yourself in an interesting way so that you are not pestering people. You're not bothering people. You're just giving them an opportunity to see how they might be able to benefit from having you in their network.
So just to be clear, Dallas does not sponsor the show or in any way. It's just that Ben went to her workshop, loved her workshop. And so anything that Ben's saying is it's just Ben enjoying the workshop.
Right. It's purely saying, no. And you should do that.
The interest of full disclosure, you know.
Absolutely. It's just that I found something valuable and useful, and I'd like to share it. And I've actually been given permission by Dallas to mention her name and some of the techniques. So I'll pepper our episodes with some of that information as we go on, as it is pertinent to the episode and the topic. So there's just a little thing. If you don't have IMDb Pro, go get IMDb Pro. I'm not saying you have to have a page on IMDb. Just get IMDb Pro and use it as a tool. It's a great search engine so that you can actually see who's doing the work that you want to be doing. That's all.
That's awesome. A few tips, some tricks, some stuff that you can practically use, put in your toolbox. Is IMDb, I assume it's a very big thing over there. I assume everyone's kind of
IMDb
to get listed.
It's very difficult to say that there is a way to do anything, a single way to do anything in our industry. And it's because it's a creative industry and it's constantly in flux. I would say that at our level, it's good to be aware of IMDb. It's good to utilize it as it makes sense to. It's not good to become obsessed with it. There's this thing called star ratings on IMDb, and star ratings is sort of this, it's a subjective sort of thing.
It's the worst.
But I will say
your rating has plummeted 4 bajillion points since last hour.
I will say this, that there is a level at which the rating is useful as a guide, not as a rule, but as a guide. I don't think it's useful for me at this point. I don't think that I've reached a level where casting directors are going to pull up my IMDb Pro and cast me at my level based on my rating. That will happen as I have more and more commercial and more theatrical success. Because what that rating sort of indicates is how many people are interested in you. And that's part of the business.
Speaking of casting, IMDb and casting sites and things like that, what's your opinion? What's your take on having to sign up for certain casting network sites? I'm asking that because part of the thing I have to do with my agency is, I have to be listed on certain casting sites, and there's only one of them I have to pay for, and it's not that much, but that gives some people pause.
Right. And I've been on 4 at a time before and paying for all 4 of them. So it is something.
What came of that? If you don't mind me asking, if you don't mind laying that bare a little bit, what came of that? So you're putting money into these casting sites. I assume this was when you were in Atlanta, or is this now?
No, this was months ago. Mere months, like 2 months, 3 months ago.
Yeah, okay. And you don't have to name any of them by name I'm interested in your experience with that.
If I do, it'll just be, because it serves the purpose of the podcast to mention the name. But a couple of them were leftovers from when I was in Atlanta, and I moved out here, and they're still useful. It's just you have to designate I'm in this region now, but I'm available in these regions. Some of them I got out here and sort of listening to who is on what casting network, I find out, oh, okay, well, at this level, this person is on this casting network, and they're being looked at by these casting directors. Here's where this is useful. Okay, great. Then you also start to see the same names over and over again. The same casting directors are doing these commercials and those commercials, and you see their names on these casting network websites, and go, oh, well, then if they're posting on that website, then maybe I need to be on that website. It's really up to you, and if you have an agent or manager, up to them. Very often an agent or a manager are going to require that you sign up on certain websites, and that's because they use them. What that means is your agent, let's just stick with agent for now, your agent has an account with this website, and they get notifications of postings for jobs, for castings. And those notifications specify what exactly the casting director is looking for. And they also have the sides posted to that and times and all of that information. The agent then references you. If you're signed up on this website, they just say, hey, here's my actor, here's my talent. Here's their headshot, here's their resume, here's their reel. They send all the pertinent information per, you know, per job. And so all of this communication is taking place via this casting, this online network. It's supposed to streamline that process. My personal opinion is that, you know, the market is flooded with these networks, and everyone's trying to develop a more streamlined network, or a more accessible network, or a user-friendly network, or a more exclusive network, or blah, blah, blah. It just goes on and on and on. So you've got all these networks competing with each other. So you and I, as actors, who are kind of on, we're on we're satellites around this casting world, you know, at the center of it, you've got the casting directors who are trying to cast the talent, and you've got the agents and managers who are providing the talent to the casting directors. And then you've got us, all the talent, who are all the way around the satellites, all out here in the wilderness going, I want the job. Just give me a chance to get the job. And so our line to those casting directors is through the agents. The direct line from the agents to the casting directors are these networks. But there's just a wide variety of them out there. So you and I, trying to be the diligent and helpful actors that we are, sign up on 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 so that, you know, we are the most available that we can be. And that can get confusing for an actor and also expensive. So my personal opinion is, if you have to have them for your agent or your manager, great. If you don't, then I personally think if you don't have to have them to work with your agent or manager, then don't use them.
That's interesting. I'm always interested in your opinion, of course, but I'm more interested in your experience. And I want to push both of us here to really talk about our actual experience with it, day to day. Mm-hmm. What actually happens when you're signed up on these sites, you're working on these sites, because I think ultimately our actual experiences are going to be more useful to people to demystify how-tos and exactly what the scene is and how to do things than right. just our opinions. And my experience so far with the casting sites has been they're reasonably active here. So there's a couple that you sign up for, and I don't want to name names, not because I'm trying to protect any casting site. I just don't want to attribute the wrong name to the wrong site and say one does something that the other one doesn't do, or one is mm-hmm. gets work and the other one doesn't. But now at a couple casting offices, they will use your profile as a way to log in. So you go to the audition. Right, so you go to the audition, and now instead of signing in on a sheet, and this has been for union jobs and non-union jobs, instead of signing in for a sheet, you will go in, there's a computer, and it says, what role are you auditioning for? And you put in what role you're auditioning for. Like, if there are multiple castings in that location, for example, if it's like Verizon or Coca-Cola, right? You're like, oh, I'm here for the Verizon spot. Then you click that, and it'll go a step further and say, well, what role are you auditioning for? Okay, I'm auditioning for, you know, a quirky office worker. And you click on that, and you put in your name, and it pulls up your linked casting profile. And that information is what they have when you go into the room. And so the casting director, he cues it up, and you go into the room, and there's your information, in addition to bringing your headshot and resume. And while you're there at the terminal, it'll also say, hey, you know, update your sizes if you need to. So you can put in your suit size and all that other kind of stuff.
What is this futuristic world in which you live, Jeffrey?
Apparently it's Atlanta.
That's very interesting. Because I say it's very interesting because I've not had that experience at all here in LA. It may exist. The only thing close to it is specific studios. I'm thinking of one in particular because I haven't really had this experience at more than just this one, will have their own network. They have their own, and their own network where they have a profile on you and they have their castings that are happening at their specific studio. I didn't really experience this phenomenon of a sort of a casting studio until I got here to LA. These casting studios, and I don't know what else to call them, that's what they are. They hold classes and workshops, and daily they have rooms that are rented out for castings. So a casting director will rent out the room. And the thing that I've experienced is that once I get there, I log in on their system. And that's specific to the casting for the day. And I get emails from them once I've logged in. Hey, you've logged in. That's great. Sign up for this newsletter, and so on and so forth. It's a way for that studio to do some marketing about the services that they provide. But that's the only one that I've really experienced that. No, there's two of them. I lie. Two of them that I've experienced this happening at. And at the same time, the casting director is posting these jobs on other casting networks that are not a physical studio. They're just a casting network. So it's two different types of things going on. One is strictly a casting network to get the word out, to advertise, you know, like a Craigslist job posting, except, you know, not less Craigslisty. Here's a job. Here, agents, send us your talent. Submit your talent. And the other one is attached to a physical facility that does classes and also has castings on a daily basis. But I have not experienced what you're talking about on a wide scale. And maybe, I don't know, I think maybe Atlanta may be doing something innovative, and that's fantastic. And I think LA has got so much going on that it's not really going to centralize that way. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. If you're just talking numbers again, and anytime I talk numbers, I'm not trying to disparage Atlanta. I'm just talking logistics in the same way that you would move food on a truck from, you know, the provider to a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
We have fewer people here doing this, so it might be easier to get the talent on a couple of the networks and for the casting directors here to centralize kind of what that is. Now, the experience I just described to you was an example of the good way to do this. I used to live in Florida, as you know, and as I talk about incessantly, apparently. When I lived there, I also had an agent there. I believe I'm still represented with them, actually. whoops. They call sometimes, and I'm like, I'm 6 hours away, or 8 hours away now. You know, I just need a day's notice.
And maybe a year or two away from actually working
with them. It's like. I let them know where I was, but anyway, who cares?
Yeah, moving on.
There, I had a profile that I had to sign up for that felt a little weird or whatever. And there it was essentially like this barcode. I would have to print out my profile with a barcode on it. And it says, no barcode, no audition. Like,
did you have
fucking like screen to go into a club or something.
Did you like temporary tattoo the barcode onto your wrist?
I think that they might have had a wristband. At least that's how I want to remember it. If that's true or not, I don't care. I choose to think that they wristbanded me. They probably like tagged my ear. I probably got this little radio transmitter in my back somewhere.
Once they mention microchips and in some sort of insertion, you need to back out very slowly. Do not blink.
Right.
Don't take your eye off of them.
So that for me was an example of a kind of a terrible, demoralizing way to do this.
Well,
whereas
the
way I've seen it here, yeah, makes it feel like that profile is important. And I have one more thing about that, but I can wait. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say demoralizing is a wonderful word for it, because we have a great opportunity living in our particular time. The technology is fantastic, and it can be used for good or it can be used for evil. And the evil is an one more way to make the casting experience less personal in an attempt to make it more streamlined. But, you know, it really needs to be a personal experience. I know that casting directors have to move through a lot of people, but I don't know that centralizing a database is necessarily the best way to do it. Although it sounds like the experience you have works pretty well. And maybe Atlanta, starting off right now in sort of the early stages of a booming entertainment industry in Atlanta, might be doing it right. And you guys may find that, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, you've got this wonderful system already set up. Whereas in California, I think that there's always been a system here, and it's just evolved. And it's evolved sort of in a Darwinian way, like the fastest, most efficient way is going to survive. And the technology, I think, is changing and growing, and the ones that figure out the best way to integrate the technology with the user and make it easy for everybody, that's probably what's going to become the most popular and therefore the thriving casting network.
I think someone's going to figure it out. I think there's there's money to be made there. I think someone's going to crack it. I think
as long as it doesn't demoralize us, like you said, as long as it doesn't turn us into...
I don't know that they care. Not that they're awful, heartless people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I don't think in the grand scheme of things it matters if you're looking at it as a business and if you're looking at, wow, we have developed a really efficient way to manage all of this information that's coming in, all of these people, that if this system is set up correctly, I actually think it would be the opposite of demoralizing, because it'd be like, oh, I remember this person because I've got their little sheet right here, kind of like you would have with a resume. I can pull it up and I remember them, and I have a faster, reliable way to get back to who that person was quickly.
And what I'm saying is that I think if the powers that be, whoever they be, proceed with that intention, which I think is a smart intention for a casting director, then it won't. It won't demoralize us, and they'll find the most efficient way to utilize the technology we have. And I think that will be the natural evolution. I just don't think that's necessarily what's happening on a grand scale in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go more into that in another episode, because there's a whole nother episode or two talking about the different casting boutiques and the casting directors and the different, you know, levels. Big fish, big pond, lots of fish, lots of different levels to this particular monster here.
All right. We'll mark that for later.
But
you've got something on your brain, Benjamin. You got something burning on your mind, please.
Well, you know, I want to take it back to the actor, because this is the bicoastal actor, and we can talk and talk and talk about the casting directors, and it's good to. We should. But what if you're just starting out and you know that you love to act and you've done it for however long you've done it, and you feel that it's time to move into the professional business, or you've been doing the professional business, but you're not getting the foothold and the momentum that you want? part of the problem may be that you don't know what your type is. Oh no, he said the evil T word, type. No, I don't want to be typed. Don't type me. I'm a character actor. Right, no, I get that. I get it. But it's an important thing to know. Is how do other people see you? What's the impression you give? We've mentioned this before, but I really think for an actor, it's very important to know, like, this is how I read. This is what people see when they look at me. This is what people hear when they listen to me. This is the overall impression that I'm giving. You know, that's important. If you're talking about musical instruments, and you're playing an oboe and you want to play the bass line, well, you're an oboe. You're not going to play the bass line. It just isn't. That's not your instrument. And no matter how much you love the bass line and you listen to the bassoon, you're an oboe. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have some variety in what you do. I'm not saying that studying the bass line isn't going to widen your spectrum of ability. What I'm saying is you need to be aware of your brand, your type, the way other people see you, the impression you give. Maybe you'll be that one oboe who looks like an oboe, but plays like a bassoon, and there's a place for that. But if you're not aware of that, you know, then you don't really know how to market that. You don't know what parts to be looking for. You may still be going out for, okay, let's use an example. Jeff, what's a role you've always wanted to play, but you think you never will?
Ooh,
For me, it's Of Mice and Men, and it's Lenny. I'm never going to play the big guy, the big, like, huge, muscular guy. I'm never going to play that. It's a great part. I would love to play it. I feel like I have insight into it.
I have one.
Yeah, what's yours?
I never thought about it. I have a good story with this. I would totally have enjoyed playing Hamlet. Mm. And there was a production of Hamlet that came by that you know about.
Yeah.
And the guy, the lead, was great. He was fantastic. But a person at the theater that you and I both know, who's, you know, a director up there, we were talking about my weight, and mm-hmm. then he just point blank looks at me and goes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you playing that right now? You coulda. Yeah, and this was someone in the position to put me in that role.
That's why the laugh. That's why I laugh, because I know what you're talking about.
But he's right. He was right. Yeah. Like, that would have been – I ended up playing Horatio. I love playing mm-hmm. Horatio, but that's also an example of my track. Maybe that's a better mm-hmm. word for me than type. I typically don't have roles that I covet. And I'm like, I just want to play this.
Just a word on type. The word type, yes, it's overused. I use it because it's overused. When I say your type, everybody has an idea of what that means. And that idea is pretty close to what I actually mean. But mm-hmm. we can come up with new vocabulary for this podcast if you would like. And I think track is a good vocabulary
word. All right, let's call it track. Done.
Let's call it track.
In the annals of history, track. Because you can run around on your track, you can wiggle around a little bit, chase that mm-hmm. rabbit.
Right. You can get off your track. You can right. diverge from your track.
But
you
your
can...
track is ultimately, I think of it that way because that's how I think of type. Because I mm-hmm. think of type as, or track as we're saying, as the journey that's going to, the path that is going to take you to playing the roles that you want to play. The yeah. only ways that you, in my opinion, can play the roles that you want to play point blank, like we talked about in episode one, someone who can just define their own career, is by getting leverage. And the only mm-hmm. way you get leverage, at least in film, is box office draw. And the only way you get box office draw is a certain level of success. And you get that success by getting cast in projects and all the things we talked about not being, you know, a crappy human being and other stuff.
And let's talk theater real quick. Theater
well,
leverage.
Yeah, let's do. But hang on. But just mm-hmm. to wrap this up. The only way to get cast in projects is to become a noticeable commodity to a casting director. Oh, this person's really interesting. And the way to do that is to get good at one thing initially. So your track, your type, whatever, is the thing that you do really well that is supported by your biology, that is supported
you move
by
on,
your talent level.
Before you move on, yeah. Tag right here, supported by your biology. Just remember, we're coming back to that.
All right.
Before you move on, because it's theater is the same way. Now, it may not be box office draw, you know, because regionally, you don't necessarily have to have a nationwide box office draw. And theater has changed over the years. But your resume and the roles you've played, that tells a theater director and the theater community talks to each other. They're gonna say, hey, I see that, you know, they're gonna look at your resume, they're gonna call up the theater you last worked at, and they're gonna say, hey, I see that you worked with so and so and they played this part for you. I'm thinking of hiring them for this part. What do you think? They're gonna say, oh yeah, they were great in this part, they really brought this to it. That track, that thing that you're setting up with that resume, that tells a story of the actor you are. That tells a story of what you bring to a role in theater. Whereas in film, you know, it is more about what have you done? What's your box office draw? Which is also tied into track. Okay. So we're going back. We're going back to what you said about biology.
Right. So, the roles that you're able to book that are within your type, that are within your track, you know, you may feel like you're booking the same roles over and over, but those are the things that get you more known by the casting directors and by an audience, to the point that when you are ready to, like we talked about with Jack Nicholson, step out of that, you've got the leverage to do that. You then have the eyes on you to make it viable for a studio or someone to take a risk on you playing a different kind of part, which makes you more interesting as an actor because, oh, I didn't expect them to do that. And sometimes that doesn't work out, but more often than not, I feel like that's the thing that elevates you to the next level, is knowing your type, using it, and then using that as leverage to evolve into something else.
But Jeff, I don't want to just do the same role over and over and over again. I'm an artist. I want to create different things and expand and learn and reach out.
That's nice. Don't you want to eat as well?
Well, yes.
Okay,
yes.
And you know what? That's the common thing that I would say.
But I can be a starving artist, you know?
Okay, you know, that's the common thing that I would say. Is like, yeah, okay, you also want to eat, don't you? It's like in the theater mindset of you do the big musical, not that big musicals aren't wonderful, but you do the big musical to pay for the, you know, tiny little art piece that you want to do. Okay, look, I think, and this pisses me off so much. I think if you want to show real maturity in your craft, if you really, like, care about what you do, then even it's your fault if you're playing the same role over and over again. That's your fault.
I love where you're going because know where you're going.
You can be cast in a very surface-wise same character over and over again. But if you just give the same thing over and over again and you never make it interesting, even in the tiniest way, even in the most minute way, you define the differences between this character and the last similar, potentially, character that you played. And if you don't do that, then fuck you, you're lazy. And it just makes me so mad. Okay, for example, no. I worked for a while in children's theater, and I love children's theater, right? But you get a degree from some actors of pandering to the kids. Okay, it's just a children's play. We can phone it in, right? Makes me mad because I think the best elements of children's theater overlap with the best elements of Shakespeare. You're working with an unpredictable audience. You have to bring a heightened character to life. You have to speak in text that is not normal, that is not your own, and you have to fully commit or it doesn't work. Those are the best skills of acting in anything.
And they let you know it doesn't work. They let you know immediately. It doesn't work. And
absolutely.
If you're not engaged and if you're not bringing that spark of life that you have, that personal spark, then the audience immediately tells you, oh, no, you're no, I'm going to pick my nose right now. I'd rather talk to this person right next to me. I'm 3, I'm 4, I'm 5, I'm 6, I'm 7, I'm 8, I'm 9, I'm 10.
And you,
I'm not going to allow you to pander.
Right. You've got to have some integrity with your craft and just be good at what you do. Because if you can't play a diverse range of roles that are within your track, that are within the type of roles that people that you're going to get cast in, that you're expected to play, if you can't play a diverse spectrum of that typeset, then what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Because they're going to see that and they're going to go, oh, this person plays the same part over and over. No, I mean, really. They play the same part over and over. It shows a lack of imagination on your part, and lack of imagination shows a lack of investment in the project. A lack of investment in the project shows disrespect for the people that you're working with. If it's a commercial, it shows disrespect for the product, the people who are paying you, right? And ultimately, it shows disrespect for yourself because you don't see any reason to do it differently.
You know, there's this theory that we are telling the same story over and over again as storytellers, as writers, as filmmakers, as actors, as artists of any stripe. When you are telling a story, you're telling the same story over and over and over again. And this theory came about, I think, in many different manifestations. Many different people have said this in different ways. The one scholar, the one person who I resonate with, who resonates with me rather the most, is Joseph Campbell.
Right.
And he talks about this several times in several different ways. Joseph Campbell, really briefly, Joseph Campbell studied world religions and mythology and saw a common thread in all of them. And he wrote a book called Hero with a Thousand Faces. And that's the concept that I latched onto immediately when I heard it. Hero with a thousand faces. And in theater, remember the Greeks? Remember the masks that they would use? The hero probably quite literally had a thousand faces. It was just another mask that they put on. But it's the same stories over and over again. The stories are about love. The stories are about tragedy. The stories are about hunger, literal hunger or figurative hunger. It's about striving in our life. And the themes are always there. They just recycle them and think of new ways to tell them. But the story is the same story, right?
Right.
Just different faces. It's different faces. And if you happen to be the guy that, or the girl, the gal or the guy that matches this particular hero, this particular type, I think of Commedia dell'arte with all the different masks, but and all the different plays, but the same characters in each one of them. You are playing the same character that was played hundreds of years ago.
And it brings me back to the importance of being able to improvise. I think improv is treated as an underrated skill set, and everyone thinks it's just for comedy, and it's not. If you're able to improvise, especially within your your type or whatever.
Oh yeah.
You go to the gym
within your track.
Way, within your track, yeah. If you go to the gym in that way and you're flexible around, you know, that kind of base character track, then you've got more options and callbacks and everything. It just comes back down to knowing yourself, I think.
I tried to type Gary Oldman once. The character actor, Gary Oldman, the character actor, tried to type him once.
How'd that go?
It was difficult. It was really difficult because Gary Oldman is one of those actors who seems to transcend type. But here's what I want you to look at, and I'm going to plug later because I have to. When I find someone or something that works for me, I want to tell everybody else about it just in case it might work for them. But Gary Oldman, he's always got this element of danger, always. There's always something a little bit volatile about Gary Oldman and every role that I've seen him in. The man's played Beethoven and Commissioner Gordon. I mean, Beethoven, Commissioner Gordon, and a dreadlocked drug dealer, and an evil genius with a lisp and a really bad hairdo who deals in nuclear arms to aliens. He's got a pretty... It's got a pretty wide range if you look at it that way. But every single one of these characters has that element of danger. Now, that's about as close as I could get to typing Gary Oldman without, like, really doing a study on it. That's sort of his essence, this element of danger. He's really charming, though, and you want to watch him. You want to watch him because at some point you're just sure – even if he doesn't mean to, he's going to do something dangerous. Something really, really deadly is going to happen around this guy.
I'm going to do something dangerous right now, Benjamin. I'm going to say that if you've got some plugs to make, you're going to have to make them because we are about out of time.
Oh, yeah.
We can continue this discussion next week. Tell me, you got some plugs on your mind? You got something on your mind you want to talk about? What is it?
Okay, so this idea of your essence is something that I heard of from Sam Christensen Studios. Sam Christensen is a casting director was a casting director here in Hollywood. He still exists, but he's no longer a casting director, as far as I know. He did the casting for Clash of the Titans. He did the casting for MASH. He knows what he's doing, and he's got a career in saying this person is right for that role. What he does now is he does workshops for actors, helping them figure out what their type, what their track, what their essence is. And he does workshops in LA, but he also does workshops in Atlanta. So I think he's a great resource to mention. So check that out. Yeah.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes over at bicoastalactor.com/103.
Yeah, and it's really about figuring out your personal essence, not just your acting essence, but what, because you carry it around with you all day. Jeff, you've got your essence, I've got mine. We all have this thing that we carry around with us.
I keep it in a jar.
You keep your essence in a jar?
I named my essence Susie.
Susie?
Yeah. I think that's enough. We're gonna get out of here. Mayday! Mayday! Ship is sinking! But hey, next week we're going to come back. I think we've got some more stuff to talk about with tracks.
I think this links very, very well into figuring out, if you figure out your track, if you figure out your essences, then you have a much clearer line to where you want to go. And that's my experience. I found that figuring out my track, my essence, has allowed me to go, okay, well, I don't have to bother with these other things right now. I can focus on my track. I can focus on defining that. I can focus on creating a name for myself in this track, and I don't have to worry so much about playing Lenny.
Will Ben ever get to play Lenny? Find out next week on The Bicoastal Actor. If you would like to follow us on Twitter, I am at Jeff Holbrook. That's JeffHolbrook. And Ben is over at BenAustin101. That's Ben, AUSTEN, 101. If you like the show, please rate it on iTunes. It really helps us out, and this is the thing that is the most helpful to getting new listeners and spreading the word. Leave a review if you're feeling generous. If you do not like the show, then I highly recommend you go to polarpodcast.com and you find something that you do like. Benjamin, I'm in the radiation chamber. The ship is safe, out of danger. My ears are pointy. And I will say I have been and always shall be your friend.
And I have...
I'm dying. I'm dead.
God damn it!
Way too long.
See, that's what I get for pausing in
I'll see you next week.
The middle of my lines.